And if you're just joining us, this is Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jackie Lydon, and it's time now for music. This song is called The Night Slips Us Smiling Underneath Its Dress, and it's the first track off of Carl Hyde's debut solo album, Edgeland. Hyde is one half of the English electronic dance duo Underworld. He's also an installation artist, a painter, and a composer, frequently scoring director Danny Boyle's films. Last year, he collaborated with Boyle on the music for the spectacular 2012 Summer Olympics opening ceremony. And although he's been making dance music with Underworld for over 25 years, mixing his club beats with fragmented lyrics, Hyde wanted his first solo record to go deeper.
The idea was to become more personal, was to put myself in there. I've always hidden behind this vast wall of words. And so there was a period of, real painful period of trying to find myself.
Well, we quite like vast walls of words here at NPR. But let's talk about a song I particularly loved here. And that's Your Perfume Was the Best Thing. I'm quite an admirer of perfume myself. Your voice is so much at the center of this. Can you tell me a little of the backstory of this song?
Yeah, it was a journey that I'd made into London specifically to actually see Brian Eno give a lecture in a college in London. Had a fantastic day, gone around talking to the students and just talking about work and art and music and stuff, and just left there just on a high. Beautiful sunny day, I'm walking down the road, the lights change and it says I can cross, and there's a bus, and I cross, and as I cross, a van comes pounding down the outside of this bus and doesn't see the lights, slams on his brakes, and I just think, well, that's that then. And I just let go. And I don't know what happened. It didn't hit me. And this is the story of I'm there outside the Royal Park and the trees are just radiant in the sunshine. And this whole image of these dancing trees and this kind of this perfume, this someone's whispering to me and kind of going, not now, it's not now, you know, not your time now.
And when the impact never came, everything went quiet, all the trees stopped the dancing and I started to grin, and then you kissed me, although the drivers were watching, help me with your lips, I thought was slipping away, put your face up close to mine, and whisper.
Cardiff Art College, where you went, you specialized in video, installations, painting. Take me back to those days, and I'm curious how you went from making art to making music.
Well, how I even got into art in the first place.
And why Cardiff?
Yeah, well, it was I followed a girl.
You're the first musician I've ever spoken to who's followed a girl.
I feel so unique. Where I come from, you either grow up and work on your dad's farm or you go and work in the carpet factory, and that was it. And so a teacher who wore a fantastic miniskirt said that she wouldn't talk to me again if I went to work in the carpet factory. And had I thought of art school? And you know, coming from a tiny farming community, I'd never even heard of art school. So, of course, I did exactly what she said and ran away to art school. And that, coupled with my musical education, which had been John Peel on the BBC, utterly eclectic.
Yes.
You go there to listen to the blues and you end up listening to punk or electronics or whatever. That just formed my point of view of how to leave the door open constantly and to keep moving in and out of different genres and different areas.
I'm speaking with musician Carl Hyde. He's one half of the electronic music duo Underworld, and his new solo album debut is called Edgeland. You met your band member Rick Smith while you were at Cardiff College, and you guys formed Underworld together in 87, and you've had such a wonderful influence there. Did the two of you have a vision for how you were going to proceed, or were you always sort of experimenting as you went along?
We formed our first band in about 1979, 80, and that was really based on the concept of bringing black Jamaican dub together with white German electronics. We loved those two forms of music, and we both loved film music, so the soundscapes of film music. Those three areas we wanted to fuse together, and we were pretty poor, so we took the dollar and we decided we'd sign up and be pop stars, which we failed at miserably for 10 years until Rick finally threw the towel in and said, I think dance music is our calling, which is electronic music, which is what we love. And Underworld Mark II came about. So really that was the first time that we'd had a clear concept, was when Rick said, I think our home is on the dance floor. No one is ever going to listen to us. No one's ever going to play us on the radio or on TV or write about us. Our best way to go is by working with DJs. And in fact, that's what the kind of music we've been playing for 10 years, except we've been in denial.
Trainspotting was a big breakthrough for you guys. The Born Slippy B-side off the second album called Second Toughest in the Infants, and of course featured in the Danny Boyle film. You know, that film was so iconic, and it really seemed a way to introduce you to new audiences.
Yeah, it was quite a turning point for us, really. Very strange, because in a couple of ways it worked against what we believed in. First of all our friends had read Irvin Welsh's book and had come back eulogising about how great the stories were about people getting off their faces. And we thought, well, that's not really the kind of area that we want our music associated with. Mm-hmm. Strange as that might sound, mm-hmm. we never saw our music as having any drugs association at all. It was about getting high off of music. Mm-hmm. So when Danny approached us, our initial reaction was no. But he convinced us by showing us excerpts from the film in which it was clear it wasn't propagandizing anything positive about drug use at all. Then it came down to the record label Junior Boys Own to cajole us into re-releasing Born Slippy, which had already been a successful dance floor hit as far as we were concerned. And at that point, we were dead against any kind of re-release of anything. We just saw it as being really cheesy and quite crass. So they canvassed 100 DJs up and down Britain, and 99 of them, God bless him, the one in Cardiff said he hated it, but 99 of them, you know, kind of said, you've got to re-release this, and that's what got us to do it.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I bet you celebrated that.
Yeah, it was one of those mistakes I'm really glad we didn't make.
About all these ideas that are eating away at you, and I'm sure continue to. You're now in your 50s, still just making all kinds of projects happen. You've done this solo album. What do you think will be next?
Oh, there's so much to do. There's hours and hours of material recorded with Brian that's yet to come out. I've got an installation that I shot at the end of last summer. I've got a lot of paintings that are on the go at the moment. So, and then music, I've started to discuss making more music. There's so many great musicians to work with, so many things to explore. You know, there's really not enough time, is there?
No, there's really not enough time. Well, Carl Hyde, I think you are the consummate abstract expressionist in whatever medium you're choosing, and I really want to thank you for all the glorious detail.
Thank you, Jackie. I really appreciate your time.
Carl Hyde, co-creator of the English electronic group Underworld, his debut solo album Edgeland will be released May the 7th. And for Saturday, that's Weekends on All Things Considered. From NPR News, I'm Jackie Leiden. Check out our weekly podcast. Search for Weekends on All Things Considered on iTunes or on the NPR smartphone app. Click on Programs and scroll down. Or follow me on Twitter at NPR Jackie Leiden. We are back on the radio tomorrow. Until then, thanks for listening and have a great night.